For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
I just want to use your love tonight.
We won't have to hear this anymore at Coors Field, Padres fans. The song that gives you nightmares.
Heebie-jeebies.
Charlie Blackman comes to the plate. That is Your Love by the Outfield.
Creepy song.
It is a creepy song.
Very creepy.
It's a really creepy one to choose as your walk-up music as
tonight.
Well.
Yeah, very, very but creepy.
When they all do that yelling tonight as a fan base, it is a cool moment, I would think, for them. And showing their love to Charlie Blackman, who announced his retirement yesterday.
Yeah, all 14 of them get very excited when they do that.
They do.
They're in Colorado.
You can hear it. You can hear it on the radio when
you
they
want,
do it. It comes up.
You want the numbers?
I would love the numbers. I have some of the numbers.
It's a career.
I made up a number. Some people believed it last night. I said Charlie Blackman has 226 career home runs. That is true. I said 215 of those are against the Padres. That I exaggerated just a little tiny bit.
It surely feels that way. But he has played in his career. He's played 192 games against the Padres in his career. He has a batting average of .301. He's got 221 hits in 192 games. 35 bombs, 104. It's a Manny Machado season, right? 301, 35 homers, 104 RBIs with 124 runs scored in 192 games. He has truly, truly. I'm actually bummed he didn't do it before the season so that we could have given him the surfboard. And really on the surfboard, he just says, get the hell out of here. Never come back, Charlie. Also, get that ham out of your beard. Please, we are begging you. But, yeah, I mean, great career for Charlie Blackman. Really, really nice career. And I'll be so happy to see him go.
A.J. Cassaville added to those stats. Blackman will retire with more homers, hits, runs, steals, and RBIs against the Padres than any other team. And in the final series of his career, he has a chance to help them win the NL West, because the Dodgers will have to go to Coors Field and take on the Rockies, who I'd imagine would like to send Charlie off with a nice feeling in his last three games and try to win a couple of those.
How about a nice three games? So call it 12 ABs. How about a nice 9-for-12 with 4 home runs and 13 RBI? How about that?
I love it.
Against the Dodgers. Yeah, I mean,
he had one against them to win the game at Dodger Stadium just a couple of days ago.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I mean,
God dang, dude, I'm looking at his numbers. Obviously, he played his whole career, right, with the Rockies?
He's a Rocky for life.
Rocky for life, yeah.
So he's been in the National League West. So no surprise that his 4 most teams' home runs against
all the divisional opponents.
But he's hit 20 against the Giants, 22 in his career against the Dodgers, 26 against the Diamondbacks, and then 35 against the Padres more than any other team.
Crazy. Crazy. Just really, really comfortable hitting against the San Diego Padres, which a lot of teams were for a while, you know, but certainly feels a little different now. But yeah, he has a chance to help us out. But I mean, if history tells you anything, he doesn't help us out. He actually hurts us. So expect a nice 0-for-12, 14 left in scoring position. Charlie Blackman sticks the knife in one more time. But I certainly will be rooting hard for Charlie Blackman in his last three games.
Someone tweeted me and said, oh, now he's going to have to shave his beard now that he's retired. I don't think that's how retirement works. When you're retired, you don't have to shave it at all if you don't want, right?
Like David Letterman, man. Things out there.
Let it go now. I mean,
wait
a
minute.
This was kempt Charlie Blackman. Now he really gets to let that beard go in retirement.
Why would you have to shave it when you retire?
That's what I said.
I will be around the wife a lot more now, so maybe she doesn't like it.
That's possible. If you want to get into broadcasting, perhaps, although
No, so Dallas Braden
still has his, even
Rockies
though he's a broadcaster.
Rockies would welcome him back with open arms,
yeah,
I'm sure.
For
and
sure.
He would not have to change a thing.
I wonder how his missus feels about that walk-up song. Josie's on a vacation far away. You come around and talk it over. So many things I want to say. I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. Ben, that just means I just want to make love to you.
So Josie's his girlfriend or significant other. She's on a vacation
far
away.
She's on a vacation far
away.
He's
looking for a
side
replacement.
Action.
And he's found a girl. She's a little young for him, but he doesn't mind because, well, he's looking for someone just temporarily.
No, is she older?
No, he likes his girls a little bit older, but unfortunately, she's not as old as he was looking for. How young is she?
It's very creepy.
It's a creepy song.
His wife's like, really? That's the one. That's the one you roll with? Okay. Right. But no, yeah, we need him to do well. Need the Rockies to, and Buddy Black. Buddy Black, big tier one of the show. Need Bud Black to manage his best three games. I mean, he tried. He tried to help us the other day. One-run lead in the ninth inning, and no, you're not going to get to Ohtani, Betts, and didn't even have to get to Freeman. But two solo shots, and Dodgers win that game going away. So, yeah, Ohtani is one of the hottest hitters on the planet right now. There's just, I mean, he's just as locked in as can be. So I why would you throw him anything near the zone? I take my chances. I really do.
Really?
What do you mean?
To try to get him out? They put him in the leadoff spot for a reason.
Of course.
If you just work around him, then you're putting him on.
And he can steal a bag.
Mookie and Freddie every single time.
Right.
I think you try to make sure no one's on in front of him at the bottom of the order. So if he does get his home runs, they're solo shots.
Go after him the first at bat.
Padres have given up solo shots. A lot of them, actually, recently. I mean, Perez, Darvish, they can win games giving up solo shots. You just can't let Ohtani hit the three-run bomb, but I wouldn't be walking him in front of Betts and Freeman and set up big innings necessarily. I pitched to him mostly this series.
I'm not giving him the four. I'm not Garrett Cole-ing him, but I'm going to try to make him expand the zone. I'm not going to throw him heaters down the middle like Skip Schumacher's team did.
You can get Shohei Ohtani.
He's very gettable, and Michael King has nasty stuff.
Right.
So.
But you make a mistake. He's
done it all season.
Yeah.
You know, we've
gotten him out.
This guy's gotten him out all season. So it's just stick with that formula.
Stick with the formula.
I don't think he was quite as hot the last times the Padres.
He was not.
Faced the Dodgers. So the last time I had this math, and if you want to join us for Take on Woods, I'm going to play here in just a minute or two. So call up. The lines are open right now. Nobody on the line. 833-288-0973, chance to qualify for our grand prize trip to Vegas, 833-288-0973. The last time the Padres played at Dodger Stadium was the same day that Scottie Scheffler won the Masters. April 14th was the last game between the Padres and Dodgers in L.A. They played the two in Korea, and then the Padres immediately went and played three in L.A., and, you know, you're only playing seven road games against them all season. So that was four of them. One of the two in Korea counted as an L.A. game. Three in L.A. These are the last three. Nothing between April 14th and now September 24th is your next trip to Dodger Stadium. It's been a long time.
It has. Excited. Just ready to get the game here.
I think Tatis is going to have a big series.
He likes hitting there.
He really likes hitting there.
There's stuff on the line, and he's going to be fired up.
Yep, and he's
got an 11-game hitting streak.
He's
going.
Hot too. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
I like that call. I do. Yeah, if you want to play,
I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. Let's play a little Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods.
All right, I see the calls coming in. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Let's go. Is this Billy?
It's Billy.
Billy, good morning. Say hi to Paul and to Patrick.
Hi, Paul and Patrick.
Good morning.
Patrick, how are you at this game?
I'm not, I mean, as far as music, I love music, but as far as trivia goes, I'm not one of those that remembers
tough
songs.
Against, yeah, you don't want to challenge Woods on this, but Billy is going to try. If he can beat or tie Woods in five questions, he will qualify for our grand prize drawing. It is a two-night stay at the Wynn or Encore Las Vegas. Nice enough for me, nice enough for Patrick, I would think, in Las Vegas, and two tickets to see Awakening, the thrilling spectacle at Wynn Las Vegas. Tickets are on sale now at awakening.com. So, Billy, we will give you a little leg up by letting you select the category today. Here are your choices. We've got Below the Waist, five songs that include a lower half body part in the title. We've got Happy Days, five song titles that include the word days. And our new category is called This End Up. It is an all 2 second song category, each song title ending with the word up. So, Below the Waist, Happy Days, or This End Up, Billy?
Let's go with Happy Days.
Happy Days. All right. Happy Days is the category. Again, five song titles that include the word day, including the word day last week. This is days, plural. You'll have 60 seconds. If you don't know one of the answers, you can say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question, just the one, is our 2 second song. Paulie, we're going to play you some music. You need to give me that title with the word days and the artist, two-parter, to score that point. Billy, you ready to play?
Ready.
All right, let's put 60 seconds on the clock. Category is Happy Days. Billy, your time begins when Paul plays our music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Come on, Billy.
Glory Days, Bruce Springsteen.
Correct. Natalie Merchant wrote and belts out which 1992 hit for 10,000 Maniacs that was the only song by the band to reach number one on the Billboard Alternative Charts?
I don't know. These Are Days?
That is correct. Take Your Baby by the Hand is the first line of which 1984 song that was the first top 40 hit for the new wave band Wang Chung?
And Paul Dave.
Correct. It sounds like a Yogi Berra-ism, but the Beatles say Ringo Starr was the inspiration for which 1964 number one hit that extends the normal calendar a little bit?
8 days a week.
Correct. Which 1985 song by The Cure features the phrase, go on, repeated in the first chorus, and come back, repeated in the second chorus?
God, I could sing it in my head. Go on.
Go on. Go
quickly.
On. This last one's always the toughest one. Four is a good score, though, there, Billy.
Did
stay great. On the line.
I thought he was going to.
Any idea what that one was, Patrick?
No idea.
In Between Days is what that one is called. I can see it in my head.
I think
but the
I
title,
got like one or two.
Title's a little tough. You got the other four, though, so let's bring Woods back in.
Good job. Good job.
Woods doesn't get the category, so he goes in blind. Billy waiting on hold with his score locked in. All right, let's put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Billy.
Glory Days, Bruce Springsteen.
Correct. Natalie Merchant wrote and belts out which 1992 hit for 10,000 Maniacs that was the only song by the band to reach number one on the Billboard Alternative Charts?
These Are Days.
Correct. Take Your Baby by the Hand is the first line of which 1984 song that was the first
Dance Hall Days.
Correct. It sounds like a Yogi Berra-ism, but the Beatles say Ringo Starr was the inspiration for which 1964 number one hit that extends the normal calendar a
little
bit.
8 days a week.
Correct. Which 1985 song by The Cure features the phrase
In Between Days.
Oh! Jesus. No! And Woods pulls it out 5-4. Billy, I'm so sorry.
Sorry about it, Billy.
Oh. I knew once it came down to The Cure, you were in good shape.
Boy,
on that
felt
one.
Good. Thank you, Death Wish Coffee, for keeping me locked
maybe,
in always.
Maybe. You got the category. You figured it out pretty quickly. That helped.
The These Are Days. The Natalie Merchant was like, what is
I thought
it?
That might trip you up early without knowing what the category was.
Woo. Man.
But, good wow, Billy, thanks for playing. That was a tough loss. That was he played well.
Did good.
Just
yes.
Couldn't
Thank
come
you.
Up with The Cure title, and that was the difference today.
You get to witness greatness today, Patrick.
I did.
You got to see
that
it live in the flesh. Is it like watching, you know, Tatis hit
I would
or
love
Manny
to
play
see
third?
You versus Gary Delabate.
God,
that would be amazing.
Boy, Gary, he would smoke
that
me.
That would be amazing.
Smoke me, man. Oh, my Lord. He is the my inspiration for Take on Woods is Baba Booey. Whew. I felt good. I can't lie. I've not been my best lately, but I got the fastball back. Started working on a.
Billy gave you a good game, though.
Got an output. Yeah, Billy. Great game, man.
Please try again. There's no reason you can't.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
You certainly have the what it takes to, to get in to qualify for the grand prize at some point.
He had to be feeling pretty good.
I thought Four had a chance on
four
that
had
one.
Had a chance.
But you figured it out too quickly, and that was it.
Man. He got those first four quick, and I was like,
Which one did he miss?
The last one, The Cure.
He missed The Cure.
It's a great song, but I didn't know what the title was.
I think he ran out of time. He goes, I'm singing it in my head. Yeah. I know
it. We are in between without you. It's so good.
All right, Don't Do This is coming up next. John Fisher.
Why even try?
Is the worst owner.
why even say anything?
Just shut up.
Just shut your pie hole, dude.
He's making it worse. I mean, it's already the painful last week here for the Oakland A's. Why are you just rubbing it in at this point?
It's sadistic, kind of.
Seems like.
Yeah.
That is coming up next after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Talking baseball with Jeff Francoeur coming up in our next segment.
Like
first, a little DDT, and I will start us today with an update on a story I talked about either last week or recently about Dan Campbell, the Lions head coach, who had to sell his house because his address, was kind of living in a normal neighborhood, was made public, and then people would come and, you know, after Lions losses would, you know, prank them or whatever. They just weren't feeling safe in their house. So they had to buy like gated community somewhere secretive just because he's the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Well, the update is how the address became known originally. And this story, this is pretty bad. So Dan Campbell's daughter goes to high school, and apparently one of her classmates, a male classmate, during the NFC Championship game last year when the Lions were taking on the 49ers. And if you might remember that game, it was the fourth quarter. 49ers were up 3, 27-24 midway through. Lions had 4th-and-3 from the Niners 30. And instead of trying to kick the tying field goal, Dan Campbell, aggressive, went for it. Jared Goff, incomplete pass, deep to Amon-Ra St. Brown, incomplete, turned it over on downs, 49ers end up winning the game. Well, apparently that caused the male classmate of his daughter, who knew where she lived, because I guess they knew each other, to post the family's home address on Snapchat with the accompanying text of dumb bleep trying to go for it.
Doxed.
Doxed is what that's calling, posting people's addresses online for the purpose of having them being harassed. And ever since then, that's when the harassment started, usually after Lions losses, forcing the Campbells to have to sell their home and move somewhere else.
High school kid. Thinking he's being funny. Was it that, did you dox me or did I dox you? You doxed me, right?
With my Christmas card? Yourself.
No, I think he doxed me.
I accidentally had in a picture, there was
your Christmas card and my address. That was cool.
Christmas card you sent me. It was a nice Christmas card. I wanted to show how nice the Christmas card
was. Along with my address, I think.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
Did you have to sell your house?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. But I'm not on Dan Campbell's level.
That's true.
I'm not, you know, my decisions aren't affecting people's football team.
I liked that decision.
And vice versa.
I love Dan Campbell's aggressive decisions.
Bro, you're trying to win
the
game.
Then I can always work out.
Yeah, you're trying to win you're trying to win a football game there, you know? I mean, it makes sense to me. All right, so John Fisher yesterday, you know, you played the last game in Oakland over the weekend, and he released a letter to A's fans ahead of their... This is actually before, but it came out September 23rd. It said, this upcoming series with the Texas Rangers... Actually, yeah, these are the last games, right? against
the last
Rangers.
Three, yeah. The yeah. home games are the first, these three, this, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then they go on the road for the last three.
The upcoming series with the Texas Rangers will be the final games of the A's storied 57 years in Oakland. Has to get this in. And while the A's previously played in Philadelphia and Kansas City, Oakland's been the home for the greatest era in the franchise's more than 123-year history. He goes into a bit of a... trying to make excuses.
He's defensive. He gets defensive.
He says, our dream was to win a world championship, build a new ballpark in Oakland over the next 18 years. We did our very best to make that happen. We proposed and pursued five different locations. This is all very, this feels very reminiscent of things that happened here in San Diego.
I mean, just substitute Oakland for San Diego and A's for Chargers, and you have the exact same, almost word for word.
Yep. He said, only in 2021, after 16 years of working exclusively on developing a home in the Bay Area and faced with binding MLB agreement to find a new home by 24, did we begin to explore taking the team to Las Vegas? Listen, he said, I wish I could speak to each one of you individually and tell you this from the heart. We tried. Staying in Oakland was our goal. It was our mission, and we failed to achieve it. For that, I'm genuinely sorry. That being said, I saw a tweet that laid me out. This guy tweeted yesterday. In 2004, the A's gave Eric Chavez $66 million. In 2005, John Fisher took over the A's. 20 years later, Eric Chavez is still the biggest contract in A's history.
Wow.
2024, John Fisher. We tried. They really did become a breeding ground for other teams. Was a very, very cheap owner. And again, you wonder how long these visions of getting out of there, getting to Vegas. As soon as Vegas was on the table, I think John Fisher took the opportunity to sabotage everything he could. The fact that MLB has just kind of rubber stamped this every step of the way. They're going to be in Sacramento for a while. There's a chance they never get to Vegas, is what people are saying. But it's just ugly. We've lived it. I have great sympathy for the A's. I've always dug their franchise a lot. And, you know, it's a real bummer for them.
So I was reading yesterday that tickets are almost sold out. Like, there's a lot of people going to these final three games. Then I went on ESPN, and I think they have a partnership with Vivid Seats, because it says on the schedule, like, tickets as low as blank.
Right.
Tickets are as low as $3 for tonight's game. But
are they opening
up
like Mount Davis and all the seats at the top for the cheap ones? I don't even know.
I don't know, but I don't know how to feel. I guess I can't tell anybody how to fan, and especially an A's fan, is you got so many emotions. Like, you want to go see your team one last time, but I'm also like, I totally understand if you're like, I'm not giving this guy even $3 more.
Yeah, even $3.
Like, nothing. I don't want any, no support whatsoever. But then you also want to go support the team.
It just sucks, man. It sucks for the players. You know, they got some good players and had a better season than I think a lot of people expected them to. And there's players there that you want to go watch. But, it's just tough, man. And look, what in the world? This thing's not over by a long stretch. I mean, what they're going to have to put up with in Sacramento, they're talking about the temperatures on that field getting up to like 112 degrees. And you got big leaguers coming in. Having to play there in a minor league facility for a couple of years, it's just stupid.
Ultimately, the A's wanted to stay in Oakland the way the Chargers wanted to stay in San Diego, only if the taxpayers were willing to make the owner more rich than he already was by bending over backwards to give them everything beyond everything that they wanted.
Yeah.
And when they didn't, they immediately left.
That's the trying they did. We have a co-host in for the day, won the at the Ben and Woods Open, chance to co-host for day, our buddy Patrick Daly. You were a Charger fan growing up, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up a Broncos fan, but when I moved down to San Diego, it was eighth grade. So, you know, it was kind of both. I was Chargers fan because I'm here in San Diego, but the two times the Broncos were playing, I was a Broncos fan.
Yeah, that makes
sense. I grew up a Broncos fan since I was, 10 years old, 11 years old. And I was a pretty big Chargers fan, too. You know, it's weird being a kid, being both, but it was fun to be able to go with your friends and root for the Chargers.
Root for their team. Yeah. Kids have no loyalty.
No, we don't care.
Finally, just do this. I'll make it quick.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
Since we got Jeff Francoeur coming up. Last night in the first Monday Night Football game, the Bills and the Jaguars, wipeout game, not close, 47-10, Josh Allen, four touchdown passes. But the do-do this moment, how about DeMar Hamlin with his first career interception?
Pretty sick.
Less than 2 years after the safety, like, literally died on the field. Cardiac arrest, heart stopped, had to be brought back to life. He's not only playing, but gets his first pick on Monday Night Football
pretty
in
sick.
A primetime game, just like he was playing when he had his heart attack on the field. Crazy.
Yeah, that was a Monday night game.
Pretty
crazy,
amazing.
Great doo-doo this moment last night for DeMar Hamlin, and that's Don't and Do Day.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we've got a dilemma about our next guest. Woods and I are not entirely sure whether his nickname is Frenchie or Franchi.
I am.
Jeff Francoeur. Oh, have you checked?
Frenchie.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought, too. He's not French, though, is he? Is he French?
No.
It's just Francoeur.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, we'll talk baseball with the former major leaguer now with TBS.
It might be. I don't, Francoeur.
Coming up next.
Frenchie.
On 97.3 The Fan. So if it wasn't so chilly in this studio, you'd see under Woods' hoodie, he is wearing an El Paso Chihuahuas t-shirt in honor of our next guest.
Shout out to John Connor from Mad Friars, hooked me up with this. I wore one yesterday as well, so I don't know why. It's just the t-shirts that I grabbed, but look at this. There it is.
Now, you didn't know it at the time.
No, I did not.
But our next guest, Jeff Francoeur, actually had the very first home run in El Paso Chihuahuas history. Probably not maybe his most memorable milestone of his big league career. He's now with TBS and Pure Athlete, helping parents navigate the complicated world of youth sports. Jeff Francoeur joins us here with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Jeff, good morning. It's good to have you on here in San Diego.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Doing well, man. Doing well. The youth sports is where I want to start, if possible. I got a 6-year-old, so I've coached his t-ball teams, and now we're in machine pitch. And I got to tell you, man, getting out to the field, making sure the rotations were right, everybody gets a taste of different positions. I was more stressed out for that first game, Jeff, than I've ever been in my life, man. I was almost sick to my stomach.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. I have 4 kids. I love youth sports. I love coaching my kids. But I'm sure you're realizing too, there are some crazy parents out there. There are some people that, you know, take 5- and 6-year-old t-ball a little too serious. But
what if you're one of them?
Honestly,
what if you're one of them? What if I live and die? like
he
not
can't help you, Ed Woods.
Not outwardly, but like Jeff, you know, I mean, you've got kids, and I wonder. I mean, I'm 49. I'm 49 years old. It's always been this way, in my opinion. I feel like we do this thing where we're like, well, back in the day, all the parents sat quietly with their hands folded in their laps. My dad got in a fist fight at my brother's Little League, and this is 30 years ago.
No, look, at the end of the day, we all want our kids to do great. You know, I'm sitting there throwing to my kids, man. I'm pulling like crazy for them. I just also think there's a right way and a wrong way to do it.
Sure.
And I think these days you have, you know, look, I love what you said. Rotating the kids, letting them play other positions. You know, my big thing is this: in any sport, at 5-6 years old, you don't just stick a kid in the outfield and bat him 12th the whole season and do it. I mean, you're not developing anybody. I'm not saying, look, I coach 5- and 6-year-old t-ball for my daughter for her softball game. I try to win every game, of course, but at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and put a girl in a situation that she can't handle or to not give her an opportunity to go win a game. And I think that's where these days it's gotten kind of lost on that.
That's
true. Too many people doing that stuff.
That's true, man. I love what you're doing. And again, it's pureathleteinc.com, and you do a podcast on there talking about it. I just think it's really important to continue to and not even like shame the parents that do it the wrong way, but just to kind of bring awareness that, like, hey, man,
exactly.
People are watching and they're podcasting about it as well. I got a radio show. You don't want to end up on the radio, you know, somebody talking about what a goofball you were.
You know, we're actually going to have Jackson Merrill when the season's done.
Nice.
Which will be great. I just love a lot of these athletes, guys, are pushing multi-sports, continue to play a lot of them. And eventually, you know, that's what I tell people, man. You don't know at 10 years old. Until someone goes through puberty, you really don't know what you're working with. So just continue to play a lot of sports, continue to develop, and continue to have fun.
Jackson's like the ultimate success story. I mean, he's still a youth athlete, essentially.
Pretty much.
He's got such a good head on his shoulders. I don't know exactly what his parents and coaches did right, but they did something incredibly right, Jeff. So let's talk about the Padres. We're obviously, you know, super excited for this week. Dodgers, Diamondbacks trying to clinch a playoff spot. The division is still in play. We're also nervous because people in the national media, and you're in the national media now with TBS, are all calling the Padres kind of the the dark horse, the sexy team. And we're like, let's just keep them under the radar here. Don't be talking about our San Diego Padres. But they have been playing really good baseball. What are your thoughts, Jeff?
Well, I think a lot of times when you come to the postseason, right, you start to break down teams. Starting pitching, the offense, the bullpen. And I think one reason that the Padres look so good right now is you start looking at all three sections and you say, there's not really a weakness. You know, you get behind in the fifth, sixth inning to the Padres, you're going to have trouble winning a ball game because of that bullpen. So, and of course, with the guys they have offensively that are clicking, coming along, it's going to be a tough out, man. And it'll be interesting to see what happens because I continuously say, I know the wild card is in play. I mean, the division's in play, but it, you know, I don't think the Dodgers or the Phillies between us really want that one seed because I don't think they want to have to end up playing the Padres, the 4 or 5 seed. I think it's a lot like what happened to the Braves last year, guys. The Phillies got that 4 seed. They got hot, and it's a tough out. So, I mean, you got to love everything about the Padres right now. I do, I know.
Yeah, we do too. And I, the one thing that hasn't been here this season, talking to Jeff Francoeur here on Ben and Woods this morning, the one thing that hasn't been here is that sense of impending dread, Jeff. And, you know, again, knock on wood, man, but like, what's their longest losing streak in the second half? 2 games? And so you play consistent baseball like that. Okay, of course, all of that goes out the window in a week. All of it. Like, everyone's hitting zero. Everyone's ERA is back to zero. Playing in the playoffs, I would imagine, is certainly a different animal. And you grip the bat a little bit tighter. You grip the ball a little bit tighter. And tell us about your playoff experiences and just how crazy it is.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, when I came through the playoffs, my 3 chances, we never had that best of 3 series. So you at least, when I played, you always got at least 5 games in that first series. So I think that's the interesting thing because that first game in a best of 3, man, is so important. So you put a lot of pressure on your team. And that's where, though, that I love for the Padres of having that bullpen, guys, that if you get a lead in game 1 and your starter is scuffling at all in the 4th or 5th, you can really maximize. San Diego can, to me, with that bullpen bringing those guys in. So that's where they have, to me, such a big advantage because they can lock down that game 1. And, of course, being at home in San Diego, that place has been just, I mean, sold out every night, so much fun. So, again, look, you got to go out and you got to play the games. And I know what you're saying. Y'all would rather just fly under the radar
yes.
and do it. But, I think everybody knows how good the Padres are.
You know, you make the point about the 3-game series, and it's also yeah. why everyone's kind of writing off the Atlanta Braves, too many injuries, not going to get it done. But if they can win this series against the Mets and sneak in with Chris Sale going like in a game 1 of a 3-game series,
nasty.
You can't really discount even a team like the Atlanta Braves at this point.
No, and if you got Sale, you got Max Fried, you got Spencer Schwellenbach, who's doing great. You know, I continuously say, even if the Braves take 2 out of 3 from the Mets, you know, the Mets and Braves could sneak in. The Diamondbacks are kind of, you know, fading. Obviously, I think where all that comes to the last week of the season, guys, you know this, is who you're playing. And, you know, if the Padres, you know, are got that, you know, let's be honest, if they don't win the division, they got the 4 seed pretty much wrapped up. So then it starts to how hard are they going to play this weekend? You know, they got to set their pitching for the wild card series, all that. So it kind of is hit or miss. So that's what's going to be interesting, I think, this weekend is you got a lot of games. You got the Mets, Brewers. You got the Braves and Royals. Royals right now are playing for their lives. So a lot of it's going to come down to how motivated, you know, the other teams are to win.
I got to ask you about this while we have you because we've never had you before. We're talking to Jeff Francoeur here on Ben and Woods this morning. Part of the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest prank ever pulled in baseball history?
I would think so.
I would think.
I would.
This happened with the El Paso Chihuahuas, right?
This yeah. It doesn't.
It get, did. It did. And yep. My wife loves it because I'm a prankster. Like in the big leagues, man, I was the guy pulling a lot of these pranks with certain guys on the team. So my wife always said the fact that someone got me as good as they did She thought it was the greatest thing ever.
All right, for those of our listening audience that aren't familiar, I've seen a video on it before. Just kind of walk us through what happened when you got to El Paso.
Well, Pat Murphy, you know, I literally showed up the day before the season started. So I knew nobody. Pat Murphy was the manager, of course. He's going to be manager of the year in the NFL this year. Done an unbelievable job. But Pat Murphy, you know, basically there was a line drive hit down in left field line, and everybody moved but one guy. And I was like, what's wrong with him? And he just dropped, hey, he's deaf. You didn't know that? And, I mean, it started this 16-day prank.
16
where he pretended
days.
He was 16 days. We headed to Tacoma. He sat on the plane for like 3 hours and just looked straight ahead. Listening to nothing. It was unbelievable. I got to give it to him. They did a great job.
Who was the guy that pretended he was deaf? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Jorge Reyes.
So they got him in. Yeah. They got the whole team in on it, and they had you convinced new guy that, hey, man, he's one of us. He plays. He's a player. But he can't hear a word you're saying.
The next day, I thought we had a team meeting at 11. Well, Pat Murphy had told the rest of the team to be there at 9:30, and they went through this whole plan on what they were going to do. And give them credit. They pulled it off beautifully.
If the video's out there, just search for it. Maybe we can tweet it from our account. It's pretty spectacular. And people were interviewing you about it. You're like, oh, no, I think it's great that this guy's out here doing that. And it's just phenomenal.
No doubt.
16 days of being prayed. And then when you found out, how did you feel?
Well, so I found out in Tacoma, and actually my dad had flew up there to see me. And so Pat Murphy was like, went up to my dad, who is hilarious, and was like, hey, you got to come in and watch this. We're about to show your son what a dumb you-know-what he is. And, I mean, it was – I actually bought the whole team a steak dinner the next night because of what they were able to pull off. It was incredible. And actually, this guy, Jorge Reyes, his wife, was the one I think that was kind of like, look, Jeff's a nice guy. You can't do this anymore. Because I was literally like, helping the kid out, carrying his bag.
Oh my
God. Pulling like crazy for him, right? You know? And, that one will stick with me the rest of my life. There's no doubt about that.
It's legendary, man.
Two weeks. No running away from that.
That is commitment.
It's
right
commitment.
There.
It's brilliant. And that's, you know, it's a long season and you do things to entertain yourself, certainly. But thanks for being a good sport talking about it. It's just one of my favorites of all time.
Before you go, are you doing anything with tonight's game? I know it's a TBS game for the Padres and the Dodgers nationally.
Yeah. I'm actually doing TBS. We got a doubleheader tonight.
Okay.
So I'm in New York, and I got the Yankees Orioles tonight.
First game.
With Brian Anderson, first game. So I think the Yankees can clinch tonight if they win the division. And like I said, for the most part, a lot of the divisions are wrapped up, but these wild card things are going to be very interesting coming down to the end because you got pretty much both. You got four teams in each league locked in.
Yep.
And then you have really. In the American League, the Royals, Twins, Tigers, and to me in the National League, Diamondbacks, Mets, Braves. So you're going to have two or three. So it'll be, you know what? A lot of people don't love the expanded playoffs, but this is what baseball wanted, right? And I think in the big scheme of things, having so many series matter the last week of the season, I think is awesome. So I love it. I know a lot of people don't love the two with three and the ability to get knocked out quick, but again, from a standpoint of, you know, for national, you know, coverage and everything going on, boy, it's going to be a fun week.
Hey, do you ever get a chance to work with our pal Don Orsillo?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me and Donnie Boy called, what, two or three playoff series together?
Yep.
I love Don. That was my... That was my whiskey drinking partner, man, right there.
Oh, really?
I knew it. We got invited to Don Tangelo's for dinner. That guy's like a
world class cook.
Oh, dude, yeah. Don't let Don. He can eat some Italian and he can drink some whiskey. Let me tell you that.
We love him. Thank you so much, man.
I call him Frenchie, Jeff Francoeur. You can check out Pure Athlete, pureathleteinc.com, and the podcast as well. Really appreciate your time, Jeff. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Good stuff. Keep that number, Paulie.
Yeah, keep that number.
Keep that number.
Awesome.
He was terrific. And that story of the prank that the Chihuahuas pulled off on him in 2014, he was called up to the Padres just for a couple weeks later that summer. Didn't really work out with the Padres, but in the Padres system for that year. Legendary.
Well, you know, one of our listening audience was very, very excited about that. Adam Klug, big Braves guy, big Jeff Francoeur guy. He was, you know, they called him when he came up. they dubbed him the Natural. That was his nickname because he had such a hot start in the big leagues. Yeah, zero, right? Just the Natural. He was definitely and always, I think he's still a huge fan favorite in Hotlanta. They love him very much there. And he's a good broadcaster, too. He's a fun listen.
All right, he's also given me an idea. I will share it with you right after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So here's what I'm thinking. If we send Don a nice bottle of bourbon, he'll have to get up early and come on with us one of these days. Well, he'll feel guilty.
Remember,
if we send him a nice bottle and go, I got to go on with those guys.
He texted me. I asked him what his secret was for keeping his pipes, you know, because he screams a lot and stuff. And asked him about his throat regimen. He said, thank you. Belvini 14 and Macallan 12. Right. So Scotch whiskey.
All right,
and then he said, just green tea during games. So. But it sounds like he likes to have one after. So yeah,
I'd like to think that he slips a little something in that green tea from time to time during the games.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a long season.
It is a long season. Yeah, you also can't have a drunk broadcaster. I mean, it's not the ideal.
It's the stereotype, obviously.
It is. I used to do, at Seals games, when I started doing PA, screaming into the mic, I'd have a little Southern Comfort with me just to kind of coat the throat, but just a little bit before the game just to kind of get...
A thimble full.
Yeah, a little more than a thimble. A shot, maybe, of like, A, it kind of calms you down a little bit, and then B...
I love Southern Comfort.
I mean, it's, you know, it's a little bit sweet, but it does the trick.
You don't want to get, you know, full Bob Uecker from Major League 2.
No.
Take over, Monty. Yeah. I'm in the bag.
That's exactly right. You don't want to get there.
Brock Meyer,
yeah.
Harry Carey was the real version of that.
Sucking down Budweiser's mid-broadcast, but Don is a gem.
Different time back then.
Yeah, different time. Absolutely.
I'm not sure what Don's schedule is, if he's going to have some playoff series possibly coming up. I know there's been a lot of speculation as to when the Padres could play their games. We know which days they'd be on, but like what time would the Padres play in the playoffs if they were in the wild card series? Now, Major League Baseball hasn't announced any start times for next week's games. All we can do is speculate. I did look up when last year's wild card games started, and there were four games on Tuesday. There was a noon game, our time, a 1:30 game, a 4 o'clock game, and a 5 o'clock game, with the likely wildcard teams being the Orioles, Astros, the hosts being the Orioles, the Astros, the Brewers, and probably the Padres. You'd think they'd be the latest game, maybe.
I would imagine.
Like the 5 o'clock game. But that's probably when those games will start then. 5:08 is when they did last year.
Crunch time,
Keep that in mind for next week.
This should go well.
All right, we'll come back, reset the show. We still have more guests coming up, including Jesse Agler, the Incorporator.
Yeah, buddy.
Ahead here on 97.3 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in-wash scent beads.